It's a personal joy for me tonight to welcome as our guest speaker, as he comes to give his testimony and bring the gospel message, our brother, Mr. Noel Shields. He's from Kilkeel now. That's not where he was originally from. He went into Bible college, served the Lord here in this country as an evangelist for a number of years, and then in the providence of God, he was taken over to England, where he pastored the work in Lewis for quite some time. I'm not too sure how many years, but it was a considerable period of time. And then the Kilkeel congregation, they invited him back so that he might assist the pastor there. And he's been labouring for the Lord in Mourne over this past few years. He's here tonight to give his testimony. I have something that I need to get up to Kilkeel tonight. I said to him, Noel, will you bring this book back to Kilkeel, give it to the minister there? And he must be getting forgetful, because he said to me, you will have to remind me at the end of the meeting that I have to take this book. And then he decided, I'll put my car keys inside the book. And so therefore he must look for the car keys. He'll realise where they are and he'll not forget the book. That's a good idea. You know, they say the grass doesn't grow on a busy street. And when you take a wee look at Noel tonight, you'll know what I mean. If he was late to this meeting somewhere, and if it had been years ago and W.P. Nicholson was leading the service, you might have got a different comment. You might have got a strange comment. One time when a bald-headed man came into the door late to the meeting, he stopped the hymn and he directed his attention to the man coming in. And he said, sir, combing your hair didn't keep you late tonight. And the man sat down very embarrassed. But W.P. Nicholson just went on and conducted the meeting nonetheless. We're glad to have the Lord's servant. He said it's a very big pulpit, plenty of room. He likes that, he said, so he's maybe going to walk about a wee bit. And you keep your eye on him, that'll keep you awake. I told him about Billy Sunday, the great American Presbyterian evangelist of many years ago. He was converted from a background of athletics. He was a baseball player, a very famous baseball player, before he went into the ministry and into the work of evangelism. And so he was a very athletic person. He would have walked, I don't know, they say, I'm sure 2 miles every time he preached the gospel. And he just walked back and forwards in the pulpit. And on one occasion, to illustrate repentance, the need to turn around completely, he did a backward flip in the pulpit. So I said, there's plenty of room, Noel, if you want to illustrate repentance tonight, you can do that. But I think he's going to decline the offer. Good to have him. We trust the Lord will bless him, that you'll pray for him, and that what he says tonight will mean something to you. And if you're not a Christian, that you'll think seriously about the need of your soul, so that you will have a testimony to the saving grace of God in your life. God bless you, brother.
Well, thank our brother for those warm words of welcome, even though he insulted me. And I always say, when you have a good looking face, you may as well show all of it. And that's the bit at the top here and off as well. And but it's nice to be along tonight and to tell of that day that I was saved. And it's great to be able to speak of the Lord Jesus. And I'm glad tonight to be able to come here and tell you about a great Saviour. And I hope that's what you'll hear at the end of course, the testimony. And no doubt we'll be going into the past. We have to go into the past to show you where we were and where the Lord found me and what the Lord has done for my life from that. So it's good to be along tonight. Good to have a new fellowship with our brother. I think it's my second time in this church. I came to a youth meeting, I think, one night, maybe back 2 or 3 years ago with Kilkeel. So it's nice to be back again and to see the house of the Lord and to see what God is doing in this place. We have a great God and we have a great Saviour. And may we never forget that. And sometimes God's people forgets that our God is still on the throne. It says in Revelation 4 that he looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And when you look through that door, you see that God is still on the throne. And always remember that in all your life difficulties, as we seek to live for Christ, our God is still King, and he's still upon the throne. Now, that's not the sermon, by the way. That's only the introduction. And we'll come on now to our Bible reading. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Just want to read a few verses together. And know that well-known verses to us. In Luke's Gospel. And the chapter 15. And I want to read from verse 1. Luke's Gospel 15 and the verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Amen. And we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. A wee word of prayer together. Father in heaven, we're glad to be here tonight. We pray that none will be seen but Jesus only. That thou would help us to tell of that wonderful day where I met the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray especially for those in this meeting who, Lord, tonight are not saved. Let them come to Christ, we pray tonight. Draw them with the cords of love to the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice that there is a promise that him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Bless us tonight and help us to glorify the name of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We can see here in this passage of the Word of God that the Lord Jesus wanted to teach these publicans and sinners a very, very simple lesson, and it was this, that they were lost. In the parable of the lost sheep, the lost silver, and the lost son. And the Lord Jesus wanted these men to know, despite their religion in some cases, that they were lost and far away from God. Well, I had to turn the clock back tonight to tell you about a time when I was lost. The Lord Jesus tells us here about the sheep that was lost. It had wandered away its own way, went away from the flock, went away from the shepherd, was out in the wilderness. It was far away from safety. It was far away from the shepherd. The sheep was in great danger. And the Lord Jesus tells us here that this shepherd that counted his sheep, 97, 98, 99, and when he looked over his flock, he noticed here that one of his sheep was lost and was far away. Well, I say this tonight, I once was lost. I had to turn the clock back to my mother's knee. You can't go much farther back than that. There were 10 children in our family. So it was a large family. It was not a Christian home at all. But my mom made sure that we would go to Sunday school. Now, we belonged to the local Church of Ireland church a few miles down the road. And mom used to say to me, well, you'll go to Sunday school. And you'll go to Sunday school until you got confirmed. And I couldn't wait till that day came that I got confirmed till I left Sunday school. But that was a done thing. You went to church till you got confirmed, and then you could do whatever you liked. It was not a Christian home. My dad used to drink a lot when I was a young fella. And I made a promise to my mom. And I says, you know, mom, when I grow up, I'm never going to drink. I don't want to go to the pubs. I don't want booze. I don't want to live that life at all. And when I grow up into a man, I will not drink. Ashamed to say I broke that promise. But I made it that time, I can say as a young lad, with my heart. There was one thing I loved in football, in life, and it was football. I was a football fanatic. And I always dreamed that one day I would be a professional footballer. Now, I don't know why I was never spotted. I don't know why I wasn't spotted, but some scouts probably got sacked why I never was spotted. Of course, one foot was this way and the other was the other way, but there always these notions that perhaps I could be a footballer. And I could play for Manchester United. That was my ambition and that was my dream as a young lad, to be a professional footballer and to play for United. Now, the devil has different ways of taking a person to hell. And that was one of the ways I was going in life. My whole room was like a shrine. Every inch of the wall was covered in scarves or flags or pictures of different footballers. The whole room, there was mirror, there was everything up in my room. And I was a Man United fanatic. Now, I left Sunday school. I couldn't wait till that day came that I had to be confirmed. And I can say this. I never heard I had to be saved in Sunday school. I never heard that at all. The day I came that I had to go up to the bishop and you have to bow before him and he puts his hand on your head. Now, I think I have got a case in this day and age. If I can only trace it back to that, that's maybe what happened to my hair after that. In this day and age, you can nearly claim for anything. Well, I went up. He put his hands upon me. The next week, it was communion. We had to go up, and I remember going up for communion, and I remember up with my sister, and I was giggling and laughing and making fun of the whole thing. But after that day, it was goodbye to Sunday school, goodbye to church, and it was goodbye to God. I had now come to the age, about 14 years old, that I could leave Sunday school. The next big event in my life was leaving school. I did not like school. And I'll say too much. There's probably plenty of school teachers here tonight. But I did not like school. I couldn't wait till that day came and I would leave school. And after I left school, well, I was 16. I was a big fella, as I thought. Because when you leave school and you're 16, you do think that you are a big fella. Well, that's what I thought. And I started to go to the pub. At the age of 16. I remember going to the pub with my friends. And I remember going into the bar. And I went in and I got one pint of shandy. Now some people may know what that is. That's beer and lemonade mixed together. And that's what I had as a young lad of 16. I would have played pool all night. And before I knew where it was 2 pints. And 3 pints, and 4 pints, and 5 pints. Then I got a sort of brave, and I said to the fellow, well, take a lemonade out of it. Before I knew where I was drinking vodka. And I remember at the age of 17, being so drunk in the town of Market Hill, my local town, lying in the snow. Here the fellow says, you know, Mum, when I grow up, I'll never touch the booze. I'll never go into a public house. I will never drink. And there I was at the age of 17. Lying in the snow in Market Hill. I couldn't stand it, drunk that much. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. The devil is a very subtle young person here tonight. There's a lot of young people in the service. The devil will say to you, come into the disco and it'll do you no harm. Take just a lemonade, whatever it may be, and he'll just get you through the door. And then, dear friends, when you're through the door, he will lay hold upon you. He will take you farther into sin than you ever planned. And that's what happened to me. And I started then to drink at a very early age. Indeed, I remember it got to stage to 4 or 5 nights a week that I could have been found in the pub. And drinking with my friends. If we had money in our pocket, we went to the bar. We used to meet the guy, well, what are we doing, boys? Have you any money? And boys, we went to the pub and we were sitting drunk in different nights of the week. I remember one night coming home, about 17, coming 18, and my mom met me outside. Now, my mom met me outside at that time of the night. I realised, well, there must be something wrong. My mom came running out and she says, look, your dad has been taken to hospital. He'd went to a bar in Newtown Hamilton, and when he was in that bar, he took a stroke, and they thought, well, that my dad was drunk. and they let him sit. At the end of the night, they tried awaken him. He's only 55 years old. But when they tried awaken him, they couldn't do it. And so we all reached the hospital, and a few days later, my mom came up the stairs on a Saturday morning. I knew by the way she was coming up the stairs, she didn't have to tell me that my dog was dead. And I was 17. You said, no, well, you must have thought about God at that time. No. Did you think about Christ? No. Did you think about your sin? No. Did you think about eternity? No, I never thought about it. You see, I was lost. And I was far away from God. After I buried my father, I can say I just started going to the pubs with the mates, as I said, 4 or 5 nights a week. I walked out of a couple of cars that were smashed through drink. I should have been killed. But I was far away from God. And my life consisted of drink and dances and bands. I played in a pipe band. I used to play in different contests around here, the Anthem area or Cullabacky. It's not far from here, I think. And my life consisted in playing football and running after the world and after sin and drinking and everything. But I used to stop. And I used to say, there's something missing in my life. Now, I don't know what it is, but there's something missing. And boys, I had done a little count of my life. I says, well, I've got an old car, and I've got a job, and I'm playing football, and maybe had a girlfriend, and I've got a home. And I said, but there's something missing. There's something not right in my life. I do not know what it is. You see, I didn't know I was lost. I did not know that I was lost at all. That was the problem. The problem was I was lost and far away from Christ. And maybe that is you in this meeting tonight. You've tried the things of the world and you've tried the pleasures of the world. And you're not happy. Because I was not happy. Now, when I went into the bars or the dances, you thought I was maybe one of the happiest people in the hall or the bar that night. But at the end of the night, I wasn't happy. I was miserable. Because I was lost. Is that you tonight in this meeting? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And this is the way I turned, the way of the world. The way of drink. The way of the bars. What way have you turned tonight? Are you lost in this meeting? Far away from Christ? Well, I was lost. And I was far away from God. There was one event, I must just say this, in that time of my life I was lost. I went to a disco as a young cub, about maybe 14 or 15 years old. And we're going up this disco in Market Hill, and we're going up it all. Remember the Bay City Rollers? Some people can remember the Bay City Rollers. Trousers up to the knees, and parallels and tartan scarves and all the rest of it. Glenon Tartan Gang had arrived in Market Hill. And we were going up to this little disco. And there was a fellow standing outside it. And he was giving out gospel invitations to come to what is known as a coffee bar in Market Hill, a little gospel thing for people to come in and speak to him about Christ. And I remember us getting around that young fella, and you know, we laughed at him, and we mocked him, and we says, come on in there, just go for a bit of crack and all the rest. But you know, deep down in my heart, I said to myself, what a brave fella that is. Standing there for him by himself. And you know, in all of my life, I never forgot the fella who was standing by the side of the road. Even years after I was in bars and I was drinking. And I remember the conversation when it came up about religion or something. And I told the people the story about the fella who stood by the side of the road. That man doesn't know to this day that I'm saved. But that really had an impact in my life. I thought, what a brave fella that was. I was lost and far away from God and drinking and running about and not happy in life at all, I must confess. But we find here in this parable that the shepherd went looking for the sheep. It was not that the sheep went looking for the shepherd, but the shepherd went out and he left the 99 and he went out after the sheep that was lost into the wilderness. round the valleys and over the hills and over the mountains, and he went looking for the sheep that was lost. Well, I'm glad I can say the Lord Jesus came looking for me. Does anybody know where the wee village of Glenan is? There's somebody over there, and I have somebody out the back. Oh, I have two supporters. County Armagh. Glenan, near Market Hill. Well, that's where I was born and brought up. A mission came in 1983. It was held in the Christian Workers' Union Hall. And you never guess who was doing it? The Free Presbyterians. Well, boys, I hated the Free Presbyterians. I was like a bull in the china shop. When you brought up that subject to me, I would have went, Matt! Not that I knew anything about the Bible, or knew anything about the Free Presbyterians, never in one of their churches. But I hated the Free Presbyterians, and I hated Dr. Paisley, and heard the nationless people come to our village to hold a mission. And my sister would go to the Free Presbyterian church. Now, she wasn't saved. And I used to visit her, and I used to talk to her, and every night we ended up fighting and arguing about Dr. Paisley, and I was going mad. But they came to do the mission. And the Reverend Alec Chambers and the Reverend Alan Edgar were the people who preached. And she asked me, would I go to the mission? And I said, maybe get a run over to it. But I had more notion of going to the mission. I can say tonight, I have no notion of going to that mission. But I'll tell you how God brought me in. I was rolling about, I said, drinking a bit out that time. And there actually was a girl that lived in Kikil. And she used to work in Uri. And my friend used to say to me, why don't you ask this girl out? And I says, well, I'm a shy wee fella. And I says, well, I don't know. But one day he came into work and he says, you have to go to see her. So I phoned her and she says, certainly. So I picked up on Friday night and says, well, the mission was going on at this time, I remember. And funny enough, I went up and we brought her home on the first night. It must have been 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And this big shadow came across the yard. It was her father. He opened the door and he took her out. And he put me down the road the first night. Oh, says I. Oh, I think I'll get back. I think I'll be all right. Well, I did get back. Well, that was it. You know yourself, when I was leaving her home that night, I realized that there's no good asking this girl out again. It's just something had come between us. And I see tonight it was God. And I went down that road and there's a voice said to me, get you to that mission. I remember this. I wasn't going to church at all. There was no church in me. Get you to that mission. That's all I heard, to go to this mission. And I came home from work. I got cleaned up. My phone, my mate, my drinking partner said, we're going to the mission. Will you call me? He says he will. And we went into the mission. And boys, I sat down. And what I saw, I couldn't believe it. I saw people who were happy. For God's people are happy people. I saw them happy and rejoicing, and I was miserable, and I was sad. And in that meeting that night, there was a man got up to give his testimony called Joe Peden. And if you heard Joe Peden's testimony, you've heard mine. He told his story. I just went like mine. He didn't like school. He played football for teams. He drank and racked about. He had watched his father die. And then he got saved. And on that night, I found out that this was the answer. I needed Jesus Christ. I needed to be saved. That I was going to hell. That I was lost. And Christ loved me. And he could save me. What a meeting it was. But the devil says, now listen. There's plenty of time. Plenty of time to get saved. Do you see, the next night, I was in the mission. Do you see, the next night, I was in the mission. I went every night to that meeting after it. I had found the answer, but I didn't take it. I needed to be saved. I needed Jesus Christ. And I could hear his voice. And he was saying, come on to me. And I will save you. And I will forgive you. And I will give you everlasting life. The Lord was looking for me. In that little village in 1983. I saw my need to be saved. And the devil said, I'll wait later on. I never forgot what I heard at that mission. I went to an old gospel meeting after it. I fell in with my wife, Joan, who's now my wife in that year as well. I still went the way of the world, but I never forgot what I had heard. I needed a Savior. And there was a better life than the one that I was living. And I used to go from that campaign and then straight to the bar in Market Hill and order the drink and sit and look into the bottom of that glass and think about what I had heard. And think that I'm lost without Christ. And even after I go to discos and so on, many a time I was outside the pub and stood. I looked up into the sky and I said, Lord, I need to be saved. But the Lord was looking for me. No matter where I went to, go to Windsor Park to see Northern Ireland play, whatever it was, I just felt that I needed to come to Christ. I needed to be saved. Worried about losing my soul and going down into hell, all of these thoughts and all of these things came. Beforehand, there was nothing. But the Lord Jesus was looking for me. He's looking for you tonight. Maybe you haven't went down the road that I have went down. But all friends, you need Christ. You need the Lord Jesus to save you. You need His blood to cleanse you. And He's looking for you tonight. And He's calling out for you to come on to Him that you might be saved. That you might be washed in the blood of the Lamb. That you might be saved from the wrath of God to come. And Christ is looking for you tonight. Maybe you know that. He didn't need me to come all the way from Kilkeel to tell you that the Lord Jesus is looking for you. Have you heard His voice? Is He calling you? Oh, you're in danger tonight. In your sin and loss without Christ. And it's not a mistake that you're here at this meeting. Maybe this is your first time in this church. I don't know. A lot of you say, most of you, I do not know. It's not a mistake that you're in this meeting. It was no mistake that I went to that wee hall on that night. On that particular night, at that particular meeting, when our brother Joe Pete was giving his testimony, it was no mistake. God had it all planned. And the same with this meeting tonight. God has brought you in to hear about a great Savior who can save your soul. Well, we find here in this passage that the shepherd kept on looking until he found it. The shepherd loved the sheep. He wanted this sheep that was lost. He went out and he looked, my friends, and he looked for this sheep. He was not going back until he found it. And we find here that he came to the place where the sheep was and he lifted it up. And he put it upon his shoulders and he rejoiced. I found a sheep that was lost. And I'm glad the Lord Jesus didn't give up till he found me. In 1984, I was doing a job in Portadown. I used to drive a crane for a firm. The man called David. And I didn't know him at all, never met him before. I put a machine in for him. It was the 11th of July. And I was packing the crane up and he came round to the window and he put his hand, it was a pound. And he gave me a tip and I said, thanks very much. I said, that'll get me a pint tonight. He took about two steps this way and then he came back. He says, did I hear you say that'll get you a pint? I says, you did. But boys, he was saved. I didn't know. And he started to preach up to me and I was looking out through the window at him and I looked out. He says, what do you think of Paisley? I got the whole light off me and got on to Dr. Paisley. He says, you'll be coming back here, boy. He says, I hope you're saved. Well, sure enough, I went back in September and put an arm machine in for him. And he gave me another pound. And I never said anything. But I didn't have to. And I stood out and he preached to me about Christ. A car came up the drive and there was this man got out, it was his minister, and there was I myself stuck between these two men and they were telling me about Christ. And I want to say this tonight. I loved everything they were saying. It was a message I needed. And I looked at them, I says, men, I know you're right. He says, no, there's something holding you back. I says, well, there is. There's something holding me back. Well, you know what was holding me back? Joan and I were just going to get engaged at Christmas. And the devil says, now, boy, if you get saved, you can say goodbye to your girlfriend. And that's the end of the whole thing. That man, David, looked at me and he said this to me. He says, Noel, we're leaving each other now. And I am going to ask you the most important question in your life. here's a question he asked me. What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? He says, what are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? You're either going to accept him or reject him. Well, I tell you this, those words went through my heart. My heart was pierced. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Can I say it tonight to you? What are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? That's it. Accept him or reject him. And I was shaken to the very core just by that simple gospel text. What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And I get into a crane and up the road, and I can tell you this, there was one word that kept coming to me all that day and all the next night. What shall I do with Jesus? That summed it all up, friends. I was terrified that I would go to hell, be lost without Christ, and I knew that Christ loved me and could save me. I'd up to see Joan, and I just mentioned briefly about being saved, but it was just brushed off. It wasn't really any conversation about the matter at all. But I was afraid I couldn't keep it, and that Joan would leave me. My friends would laugh at me. I never came to Christ. I came to December, Joan and I got engaged as planned, and life went on. But I was greatly troubled. I was in the bars and I looked upon my friends and says, well, you know, all my friends are going to hell. I am going to hell. My fiancée now, Joan, she's going to hell. My family members, they're going to hell and we're lost without Christ. Well, the night before I got saved was the 18th of January, 1985. I was drinking a Marty Till, as usual. And I took Joan home that night. There was a friend of mine. He was hanging really over the wall of her house. He was that drunk, he could hardly stand. And I got him gathered up and into the car, and the two of us went home. When I was taking him home, the Lord says to me, Noel, if you could see, if you can help your friends. And I could see things differently than I used to. And I went home that night, and I was greatly, greatly troubled. On the 19th of January, 1985, I threw back the bedclothes and I says, Lord, I'm coming home. I've had enough. And I went over and opened the blind windows, and what a fall of snow there was. There was a tremendous fall of snow on the 19th of January, 1985. And the Lord was directing me up to see the Reverend Alec Chambers, who was the minister of Mullet Glass Free Presbyterian Church, and knew where he lived. And went downstairs, and Mom says to me, are you away to the pub? For I used to get up early Saturday morning away for more drink to get the cure. I says no, I never said where I was going. Jumped up in the car and drove up the road in the snow, and the car actually got stuck in his drive, and up and knocked the door, and that was 2 years after the mission. And his wife came out and he came out, and I looked at him. I said, listen, could you tell me how to be saved? And he brought me in into his living room. And there in that house he showed me how to be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he says, Noel, do you want to be saved? Yes, I said, I want to be saved. I want Christ to be my Savior. And I asked the Lord Jesus to save me. And friends, I called. And the Lord heard. And I remember looking at him and he says, he's saved. I says, I'm saved. There's no bright lights. There's no angels with harps. But I tell you this, the burden was gone. It was gone. And gone forever. But boys, I still had to face the family at home. Had to face my friends. I had to face Joan. Not that she's going to a wrong impression about my wife, by the way. Well, I went home anyway. I met my best friend. I said, all I've got saved. He looked at me and says, all the best, boy, I'll give you a week. Told my mum and all I got saved. She thought something was wrong with me. She told my sister, come quickly. Something has happened to Noel. They thought I went crackers. They got saved. And then I had to see Joan. And I phoned her up. I said, Joan, I'm coming up early, a wee bit early. And we had planned a big night out with our friends from work. And that was usually a night on the drink for me. I'm coming up early tonight. I want to tell you something. Well, she thought I maybe had two tiger or something and I was coming up to confess. Well, that wouldn't be the case, but that's what she thought. I wonder why he's coming up early. So I went up early and I took her around and said, listen, I want to tell you something. I got saved. When she would tell you tonight, that was the biggest shock of all. She didn't think that I could see it. I used to swear like a trooper. She used to always say to me, "Noel, would you try to stop swearing?" And I used to try. I used to swear box in the car and all that. I couldn't stop. And I told her there, I confess, this has been on me a long time. And I told her what had happened to me, what I've told you tonight. And I needed Christ. And I said, "Listen, I've got saved." And no doubt we wept together. We thought, well, maybe these things is all going to end between us. But I was saved. And I remember standing in the streets of Newry that night. And I said this to the Lord, "I'm glad it's all over. The old life was gone, friends. And the burden I had in my heart was gone. And I had now a peace that this old world couldn't give me. I had Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new." And people watched me. And Joan watched me. And she told me after that she watched to hear me swearing. She said, "I'll watch him. I know if he's saved or not. Because I always swore terribly." She never heard me swear again. With his stripes we are healed. And instead of running to the pub, now I was going to church. I was a new person. Well, I thought I was going to lose Joan. I thought we were going to fall out. Some night she got out and I thought the door was nearly off the car. She slammed it. And I remember... I was really annoyed, and I was going about, it was all gloomy and stuff. I thought I was going to lose a girl I love and all the rest of it. And I remember meeting a man who wouldn't be saved, but he was very friendly with me. And I told him all the whole story about how I was saved. I said, I feel I'm going to lose Joan. And the man looked at me, and this was not a Christian man. He said this to me. He says, "Are you going to turn back for Joan? Are you going to go back to the drink for Joan? Are you going to go back to that lifestyle for Joan?" And I said, "There's no going back. I had decided to follow Jesus. And I wasn't going back for Joan." And he said to me, "Well, if Joan wants you now, she's going to have to learn to love you the way you are." And I said, "That's exactly the way it is. Because I had decided to follow Jesus. And there's no going back." I was upon his shoulders. He had lifted me. And I remember going up to see Joan that night, and everything had changed. Atmosphere had changed dramatically. And we got on the bus, and we went to a wee mission, and I think that was about March time. And Reverend Chambers again was preaching to Reverend David Smith, and that night Joan was saved. And Joan was saved just a few weeks after me. And that was in 1983. What a wonderful change it was in our lives. The Lord brought us out from the pubs, the clubs, and that old life, and gave us a new life. Called me into the work of God. I've served the Lord in different places here in Australia and in England and back again in Northern Ireland. And my life now is preaching Christ. That is my life. Telling people about the Lord Jesus. That great text in the Word of God, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone which believeth." I have proved that. I'm living proof that Jesus saves. And you know, the one who saved me can save you. And he can save you tonight. And I say in closing, would you not come to him? You will find he will lift you from where you are. He will take you away from your sin and all your fears and all your trouble. He will place you upon his shoulders. He will give you a new life. He will give you eternal life. Put your whole faith in Christ tonight. I did it. Do you know, it was the best decision I ever made in my life. By his grace I made it. And I belong to him. May you come and trust him tonight. And you will find that he will save you. And save you now. Amen.